Yeah, thank God for grace. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God for grace. And a God that truly loves us and watches over us, takes care of us. Good to see everybody come this way in the house of the Lord. I tell you what, I've got good news today. I want to tell you about the love of God and His direction for life. You know, I think about a lot of times how we just, a lot of people just exist. You know, we just exist, and that's all we're getting out of life. And God intends for us to have more than that. You know, it's not just an existence, but He wants us to be happy and cheerful on the way. We've got a point A that we started at birth, and we got a point B that we're going to answer one day. But between there, let's have a good time. What do you think? Just about have a good time in the Lord and enjoy ourselves because of God's grace. I was thinking about some of the songs they sang, wonderful song service today, and I was thinking about that, His love lights the way. And the third verse in that starts out, it says, each trial overcome adds strength to my soul. You know, a lot of times we sing the words and never think about it, but that struck me this morning. Each trial overcome adds strength to my soul. There ought to be somebody to go out of here stronger this morning, because I believe God's give us the power, God's give us the ability to overcome something that's besetting us or maybe hindering us from truly worshiping and praising the Almighty God. And I get thinking about God's plan for His children, you know. He's got a plan for you. Did y'all know it? God's got a plan for each and every one of us gathered here today, that we not only exist, but we flourish, that we move forward. We have the excitement, the cheer of life that only He can bring. Let's look at a few verses of Scripture. I want to go back to Old Testament this morning and talk about the departure out of Egypt. And this is always a thrilling thing to me. God looked down on His children. He said, that's enough. They've been there long enough. Let's bring them out. Let's give them something better. Let's give them a promise. Let's get them out of bondage. Let's get them out of the land of Egypt. Let's give them their own land. Praise God. You know, He said, I'm going to give them this land. It's going to be theirs. They're not going to have to coexist with the Egyptians. They're not going to have to coexist down in the land they don't own and work as slaves for a reward that they don't get. But I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to give them their own land. And I thought about how true that is this day and time, about God's desire for His children. He'd love to bring you out of sin. He'd love to bring you out of Egypt. He'd love to give you a land that belongs to you, a land filled with milk and honey. God's got a plan for you. Amen. God's got a plan. And we need to follow the plan. You know, they came out of Egypt under the leadership of God and Moses. I want to put God because He's the one that's doing it. And Moses, and they came out of Egypt, and on their way, it began to get hard. It began to get tough, you know, and I thought about the verse of the song, each trial overcome adds strength to our soul. They should have been a strong people by that time, because they were going over trial and tribulation. They were having trouble because they weren't very obedient to what God was asking them to do a lot of times. And so they get down to the point that they make their own God. You know the story of the molten calf. They melted down their earrings and their jewelry and made a golden calf and begin to praise and worship it. And I'm going to tell you, when you turn away from God, trouble's on the way. I want to be very plain. You turn away from God, you got trouble coming. It's on the way. It's going to happen. It's not maybe. It's not if. But it's absolute that God will take care of that. So they've turned away. They're worshiping a golden calf. Moses up on the mountain communing with God, talking about His plan. And he comes back down and finds a situation in the camp that they begin to worship this God, this golden calf that they had made. There are no handmade gods. There's no world-made gods. There's only one true God, and that's the one we want to worship and serve. And so in Exodus chapter 32, if you'll turn there with me just for a few minutes, just assorted verses through here. But when I started reading about this and God's plan, you know, He said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be yours for your own personal benefit. I want you to have a better life. Now, how many of y'all would like to come in here this morning and spend about 30, 45 minutes and go away and say, I've got a better life because God promised? Amen. Would you like to improve the standard that you live by? And I'm not just talking finance. I'm talking spiritual. I'm talking happiness. I'm talking joy. But now He can go down to the financial part. God owns it all. If He wants to make you rich, it's His choice. And I thought about this promise he gave, and all of a sudden the people started turning away. You know, I see that happen all the time. At a time of trouble, where do we need to go? To God. Not away from Him, but to Him. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for the people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is stiff-necked people. And I'm telling you, when I think about how God looked down on these people and He told Moses what's going on, He said they've made them their own gods, and they begin to worship, they begin to sacrifice, they begin to give this molten calf credit for what God had done of bringing them out of Egypt. And I'm telling you, God was pretty much discouraged with them, no doubt. You know how that is, we get disappointed in people. I wonder how many times I've disappointed an almighty, all-gracious, all-loving God. And the same way was happening here. And He tells Moses, He said, I want you to get down and go because they've corrupted themselves. They've turned away from following the true and living God. Now, when we do that in life, something's going to happen. It's going to be a problem. So He told them, He said, it's a stiff-necked people. He gave a description of them, of His people that He loved so much. I wonder how He described me today. Y'all ever thought about that? Just a personal description. What if God came down and gave a description of us today? What if He come down and said, let me tell you about Him. He's a little stiff-necked, a little bit stubborn, but I love Him. That's what God demonstrated here. He goes through and He starts telling them what's going to happen and what's going to take place. There's going to be plagues. There's going to be problems for them. He's going to be revenged, and they're turning away from Him. And all of a sudden, down in verse 14, it said, and the Lord repented of the evil which He thought to do unto His people. Praise God, His love came through, didn't it? I'm telling you, the love of God demonstrated. He said they did wrong. They've been aside. They worshiped a false god. But I'm going to forgive them, and I repent of the evil I intended to do to them. That's how I'm here today. That's how a lot of you are here today, because God repented of the evil He's going to do unto us. That under His grace and His love shined through to the children of Israel. He said, okay, they're stiff-necked, and I know what they are. I know what they've done, but I repent of the evil I've intended to do to them. I'm going to show them grace, I'm going to show them love, and I'm going to encourage them, and I'm going to still give them the land that I promised to them. And I thought about that promised land. You know, they never had saw it. I hadn't saw heaven, but I believe it's there. I believe it's prepared already. And I thought about these people traveling through the wilderness, you know, to a land they hadn't saw. They were having to go on faith of God and believing what He had said. And God repented of the evil which He thought doing unto His people. That gets me on shouting ground just about thinking, hallelujah, praise God, that He repented of the evil that I deserve. Now, I didn't say that He was going to do, that I deserve. Because, you know, I had times in life that I'd turn away and I'd get gods before Him and other things. And I always noticed every time this happened, it just don't go too well. Life just don't go well at all. He goes on, and I thought about Moses over in chapter 33 and verse 1. Chapter 33 and verse 1. Now, when we get there, I'm going to tell you, Moses kind of had a roll call before this. You know, he stood up in verse 26, and Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Now, I want you to think about that. Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And I thought about the call that went out. Moses just stood in the gate of the camp, and he said, who's on the Lord's side? You know, let's get this thing plain. Are you for God? Are you against God? Where are you at? Where do you stand? And I thought today, you know, we go out in the community sometimes, we ask people about their service for God and how they serve God. And a lot of them will tell you, yes, I'm on the Lord's side, but I'm telling you, they still worshiping some false god. You know, And this is the way God was going to separate them, whether they worshiped and praised Him or they worshiped that golden calf. They had a choice to make. And I'm thankful that God gives us choices. He even shows us the right choice that we could make. And so when in chapter 33 and verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and unto thy seed will I give it." And here, Moses, I can understand Moses' place of leadership. He'd probably like to resign and said, "I'm not leading them. You said they're stiff-necked. You know they're unruly. I'm just going to resign from that and not take part in that anymore." But God encouraged Moses. He said, "I want you to bring them up to the land I promised. I don't care what they've done. I don't care where they've been, how long they've been in the wilderness. I'm going to bring them to the promised land because God said I'm going to do it." And I thought about God's sons and daughters today, believers in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how God's going to bring us to the promised land regardless. He's got the promise for us. Moses wanting to get out of it. I guess Moses had been a good time to say, "Well, God, you lead them. I'm not going to. I quit." That's the easy thing to do. That happens a lot of times, don't it? And God, in verse 2, He said, "I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite." Now that's a lot of sites. I'm going to tell you, He's going to drive out. That's a lot of enemies, right? You get thinking about it. That's all that's down there in the promised land. If you want to read scripture, they're not anybody else down there. He covered every one of them. And I've got it thrilled and excited last night. I was in one of them moods, you know, just to get bounced and jumping up and down, thinking as long as I'm walking in the Lord's will and the Lord's way, He's taking care of the enemies. Praise God, He's putting them out of the way. Now, He covered every one of them, all these heights. You know, they're down there. They're enemies to the children of men. God said, "I'm going to handle that for you. You just keep walking in my way and watch what I can do." So we need to be illustrating this day and time in this life that we need to be walking in the path that God has laid for us and individual sons and daughters on the way to the promised land. Glory, hallelujah, that we can walk in God's way and let Him take care of the enemy. I'm not scared. You got God out in front of you. What's the fear? And I thought about these obstacles overcome. What does the song say? With each obstacle overcome, add strength to my soul. And I thought about the increase in the strength of our souls and our spirit and our power and our faith because God are taking care of these enemies way out there in front of us. Children of Israel didn't even see the battle. God handled it before they got there. Just as He handles a lot of ours before we ever get there. God's already been there. God's already took care of it. God's handled that. And so, He said in verse 3, "Unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." And He gives them warning. He said, you know, "I'm not going to go up and miss thee unless I consume thee in the way." He wants them to keep walking toward that promised land. He wants them to have the good life that God has promised His people. He didn't want them down in Egypt. He didn't want them in slavery. He wanted them free. He wanted them in their own land. He wanted them to have the promises that God gave. And all they had to do was just keep walking in His way and keep worshiping and praising Him as an almighty God. How easy it is in this life. How easy it is in this life to worship and praise an almighty God that takes care of. It's not a hard thing to worship God. It's not a hard thing to be faithful. Now, that's what the devil would tell you, but that's not what God said. He said it's easy. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. It's easy. And you know, we start thinking about the works and the things God would have us to do. He prepares the way, spreads the enemy out, takes care of them, and we've got a clear path to walk to a promised land that God promised. God promised peace. How many of you here this morning got peace in your heart? I'm serious. You got to think about it. Who's got peace in your heart? You gain that peace by trusting the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You get that peace in your heart by laying down at night knowing God's in charge. Not you. Not somebody else, but God's in charge. And you find that peace. God intended we have joy. Now, how many of you got joy in your heart this morning? You know, that's one thing the devil wants to rob you of. He said, let me get the joy out of them and they'll quit. And that's about true. But he's had a hard time getting it out of me. Because the little song, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. Amen. Now you think about that. The world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. I don't care what happens tomorrow. I don't care what happens the rest of this day. God's in charge, so be it. I'm good to go. Now Moses, and I can understand Moses' disappointment in his people. You know, he brought them out of Egypt. God had fed them. God had clothed them. God had gave them water out of the rock. He took care of them so many ways, and it had to be disappointing, discouraging to Moses to see the people turn away and forget so quickly what God had done for them in their life. And Moses, you know, I understand disappointment. I understand how this life sometimes brings us to a point of discouragement. It can happen to the best of us, I'll guarantee you. But that's not God's plan. And Moses overcome this by the power of God and by looking at God. And I got thinking about Moses. He said, you know, I'm a little disappointed. I'm kind of discouraged about leading this people. God, I need a little boost now. I need just a little something extra, you know. And I thought about the extras God gives in this life. I thought about the extra time that He'll give you just a little extra help. He'll give you just a little extra grace. He'll give you just a little extra joy. He'll give you just a little extra strength. But Moses needed something in life. So in chapter 33 and verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now this is Moses asking something of God. He had a request. How many times y'all request and ask something of God? God, I need help in this. And, you know, God answers and God hears. And I thought about Moses. You know, he's disappointed. He's discouraged. It's a tough road to hoe, but he's still in the work of God. He's still in the battle. He said, and I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And, you know, I read this several years ago, and I thought, never in my life have I asked to see the glory of God. And I kept praying about it that night. And sometime during the morning, I got up off my knees and praying. And I thought, if it's good enough for Moses, it's good enough for me. I want to see the glory of God. Amen. That's what Moses asked for. And God's no respecter of person. He'll show Moses His glory. He'll show me His glory. And I got up off my knees that night and prayed. I said, God, I want to see Your glory. Amen. And after about an hour of that, I said, that's about enough. I can't handle anymore. Because I got so excited and so thrilled and so joyful and so strengthened by the Word of God coming in and the glory filling the room that I got thinking, I can't handle much more of this. But Moses needed some help. He asked to see the glory of God. If you're struggling, ask to see God's glory. If you got trouble in life, ask to see God's glory. The rest of it won't look so strong. You get to see the glory of God, it'll take the rest of that garbage out of your eyesight. Seeing the glory of God. Moses needed some help. There are times in life we as sons and daughters of God need that help. We need to see the glory. It needs to be manifested in the church. It needs to be manifested in our life. It needs to be in our home. It needs to be in our workplace. Moses had a desire. If you got a desire this morning, would you like to see the glory of God? You think you can handle it? You probably want to go tell somebody about it when you do. In verse 19, and he said, this is God, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now that's God. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Moses had a desire. He said, I want to see your glory. God said, I'll do it. Praise God. I'll do it. I can handle that. That's no problem. He said, I'm going to have to do it my way, Not your way, but I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to strengthen. I'm going to uplift you. Now, first of all, when he starts up, he said, you know, you can't see my face, for no man can see me and live. But then he gets down to the place. He said that there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Who's beside Jesus, and who's beside God today? The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. I've got scripture after scripture that'll tell you that. And when God was talking about the place by me, he said, I'm going to show you my glory in Jesus. Y'all thinking, Jesus is not yet. Yeah, Jesus always was, always will be. Praise God. And so when he starts talking about the place beside me, I got thinking about that, and he said, thou shalt stand upon a rock. Where's he going to place Moses to see the glory? On the rock. Who do we know as the rock? The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so today, we'd have to put that in application and say, I'm going to stand you on Jesus, and I'm going to show you my glory. Now, you think Jesus is not important? And then he goes down a little bit farther. He said, I'm going to place thee in a cleft of the rock. He's going to put him in a cleft of the rock. Who do we know as the rock? Jesus. Where's God going to put him? He's going to put him in Jesus, in the cleft of the rock. Just today you can think he's going to be putting us in Jesus, and then he's going to show us the glory. Over in Colossians, talks very plain about Jesus. I'll read it to you. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This is talking about Jesus. In verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So what did we say? That Jesus is the head of the church. Now you notice this. Then it goes down in verse 24, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Praise God. Jesus, the body of church, the church. That's what his body is, the church. So when I got thinking about this, all these people that want to bypass church and say, I don't need it, I'm going to get around, they're probably not going to see the glory of God, because God put Moses in the cleft of the rock, and for us today, it would be putting us in the body of Christ, which is the church. You want to see God's glory? Get in the church. May not see it otherwise. I think if there's any one spot in New Salem. Now, God could do this anywhere. But if there's any one spot God chose to show his glory, why would it not be New Salem Baptist Church? We've asked for it. We've prayed for it. We're here faithful. We're here praising, worshiping him. He tells very plain, he said, Moses, I'm going to stand you on the rock. I'm telling you, that rock is Jesus Christ today. That God's going to stand you on Jesus, and then he can show you his glory. You know why you're going to stand on Jesus? Because you'll need a firm foundation. If you're standing on the sand, you're standing on in the mud, you're liable to lose your footing when God shows you the glory. Take you off balance, and you'll go down. You need a firm foundation. And then when he spoke of that, I'm going to place you in the cleft of the rock. Today's time, that would be, I'm going to put you in the body of Christ, the church. I'm going to put you in the church. I'm going to show you the glory. It's going to excite you. It's going to motivate you. You're going to go ahead with the work that I've got planned for you. Verse 23, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I'm telling you, when you start seeing God and his glory, I believe it changes Christians. I believe it changes sinners. When they see the glory of God. And this all today is about a better standard of life for you. God wants you to have better than what you've got today. You might have come in here discouraged, disappointed, out of heart. But I'm going to tell you, God's here today to show you his glory, his power, and let you just rejoice in the fact that you're a child of God. Amen. Amen. I believe somebody today needs to overcome something that adds strength to your soul. Don't you? Add strength to your soul. That's what we need today. Everybody stand. We're going to be dismissed.